What's going on? Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 85 of the pod. Want to begin today's episode by sending our best wishes to Joey's family. His wife is not feeling well today, so he won't be with us for the episode today, but will return next week. So sending all our love and best wishes to Joey's wife and his family. So want to keep that in mind in today's episode. Having said that, if it's also your first time here on the Hoth Hangout channel, and if you're watching the video version of the podcast, typically this is what our setup looks like, both Joey and I podcasting together. However, as I mentioned, of course, just flying solo today. So with that in mind, it's going to be a much shorter episode than usual, probably just about, 15 or 20 minutes. If you're listening to this, obviously you can see the timestamp and you're probably thinking, dang, he said he was only going to go 15 or 20 minutes, and this is like almost half an hour. So we'll try to keep it brief, try to keep it succinct today. If you're new to the Hoth Hangout channel, thanks for being here. And if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel for the video version of the podcast, definitely check us out there. And thank you to the 427 of you who are subscribed. You can contact us always at hothhangout@gmail.com. If you have any Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise. Additionally, the podcast is findable on Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on a platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the pod. We would appreciate it very much. And it also allows other people who enjoy Star Wars as well to discover the podcast more easily, I should say. You can find us on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X at Hoth Hangout on each of those. And the Hoth Hangout community Discord server is available down in the show notes below of today's episode. And to move into our early introduction to the discussion of episode 4, our question we're kind of thinking about in today's episode is, will both May and Osha survive the rest of the season? Let us know what your thoughts are on that down in the comments of the YouTube version of the podcast and all the socials. Normally, this is where I would check in with Joey, but just want to touch up on a couple pieces of news, and then we'll move into the main part of the conversation and breakdown in regards to the fourth episode of The Acolyte, and just kind of the show as a whole. The first thing is that the season one of The Acolyte score on Rotten Tomatoes, really just the only season of Acolyte, obviously, at this point, but The Acolyte score on Rotten Tomatoes has now reached a new low of 14%. This was already setting the record as the worst reviewed, I guess, Star Wars show in the history of Star Wars, and this is including any show or movie or anything like that, so really just any Star Wars piece of media. But the holiday special from 1978, I want to say, previously held the record at 22%. This is, of course, a fan score. The critic score actually much higher for Acolyte. It's almost weird to look at the disparity. The critic score currently stands at 84%. Meanwhile, the audience score currently stands at 14%. So clearly a disparity here between, you know, what some of the critics are saying and how a lot of the Star Wars fans are feeling about the show. We'll talk about that more today. But just wanted to note on that, as I thought that was kind of interesting and very indicative of sort of the mentality. I should say the difference in mentality between, you know, the people who are reviewing it and the people who are maybe those more in-tune Star Wars fans, if we might say. So the other piece of news wanted to touch on before we talk just Acolyte for the rest of the time. This is something that actually doesn't pertain to Acolyte. But Dave Filoni recently provided an update on his Star Wars movie, which is slated to come out, I think, in like 2.5-3 years time. And he said that it has an opening that he likes. So clearly this is in production. This is in the works. I'm sure Dave Filoni is hard at work writing the movie as we speak. And this opening is focused very much on Ahsoka Season 2. So obviously Dave Filoni's movie is going to tie into sort of what we've now coined the Filoniverse, Mando, Ahsoka, that sort of time period. And as will the Mandalorian and Grogu movie that comes out here, I believe, next year at the time of this recording. So, but essentially the brief synopsis of this is that about a year ago, Lucasfilm announced that Dave Filoni was going to create this new Star Wars movie and that the film was in development. And the film is essentially going to serve as this crossover event for all the various live-action Star Wars series he's produced on. I mentioned The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, but this also includes, obviously, The Book of Boba Fett, which takes place during the same time period, as much as a lot of us weren't crazy about the show. And then as well, Skeleton Crew, which we obviously have yet to see yet. So It's going to kind of encompass elements of all of these shows is sort of the understanding. And yeah, exciting to hear a little bit of an update that Filoni has provided to us in that regard. So Filoni revealed to a podcast that he went on that he works in long threads and likes to know where the story is going to go and what the outcome of that story should be, and added that this is how he worked on past stories, such as like Clone Wars and Rebels, for example. The film is currently in a normal development point, and that writing on Ahsoka Season 2 has helped him with the development of his movie, as he now has a clearer idea of where things are going to go. And I feel like on that note, that's kind of a good moment to lead into some of maybe the shortcomings of The Acolyte. I don't know how much Dave Filoni was involved with the creation and the filming of The Acolyte, but it just feels like he didn't really have his fingers on the pulse of this project. I mean, I could be wrong in that. It just feels hard to believe watching this show that Filoni, who has kind of been dubbed the new George Lucas, so to speak, is really not having... It doesn't feel like he's having influence. I mean, some of the things we've seen in The Acolyte so far, just I would be shocked if someone ran that by Dave and Dave was like, yeah, that sounds good. Like, I, you know, and we'll talk about that more today, but... So I guess let's get into some of the, or I guess before we get into this discussion, we have a question that we asked on last week's episode. We're going to forego looking at some of the viewer comments today and save those for next week's podcast when Joey and I will both be back together to review some of the comments. But what I will say about the comments before, even though I'm not going to review them today, there was kind of a wide range. For what it's worth, there's obviously a pretty vast undertone, maybe it's not even an undertone, maybe it's an overtone of negativity surrounding The Acolyte. And I think, you know, a lot of that is rightly so. I think there are tons of things this show does, both in terms of the quality of the actual presentation of the show, like cinematography, lighting, stuff like that, but then also in terms of lore, that it kind of just, you know, seems to rub people the wrong way. And for what it's worth, there are a lot of people, and we heard from, I think, one or two folks who were expressing praise of The Acolyte. And so as much, basically what I'm trying to say, as much negativity as there is around the show, and perhaps rightly so, I think it's also important to remember that there are people out there that are genuinely enjoying The Acolyte. And so just to keep that in mind as we have conversations and discussions with one another, ultimately, we're all Star Wars fans. We're all going to have projects that we don't like. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, The Acolyte is maybe besides the Book of Boba Fett, what I've enjoyed the least of a lot of the recent Star Wars projects they've done. But that's not to say that there's someone out there who this, you know, might be their favorite Star Wars project. So anyways, all that to say, we heard from a lot of people who kind of voiced their frustrations with some of the things that were happening in The Acolyte, and especially in Episode 3 and Episode 4. And then we also heard from a couple people who said that they've really been enjoying the show. So anyways, we will touch on those comments more in next week's episode of the podcast. In last week's episode of the pod, we also asked the question, will we see any more witches this season? We asked on YouTube, 79% of people responded with yes. Whether that is as the Dark Force user, there's a lot of theories out there that Mother Quarrel is that person, or in some other form, even if it's a flashback. It looks like roughly 4 out of 5 people are thinking we will see more witches at some point this season. We asked the same question, though, over on X, formerly known as Twitter, and it was actually 100% saying no. So I don't know where the disparity between the two lines of thought on YouTube and Twitter originated or how that came to be, but clearly... differing views and differing opinions over on YouTube as opposed to Twitter. But keep an eye out on the YouTube community tab as well as the Hoth Hangout channel, or the Hoth Hangout profile over on Twitter, I should say, for the options to vote in this week's poll. And of course, that will be related to the question of the week, which we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Will both May and Osha survive the rest of the season? All right. Well, let's dive into Acolyte Episode 4. I'm already like a good 10 minutes in, roughly, so maybe the 15 to 20 minutes was a bit of an underestimation. As those of you who listen to the pod probably know, I frequently underestimate the length of time we're going to go. My brief overall thoughts, because I'm not going to do a deep dive into the episode like we normally would do scene by scene, But my brief overall thoughts are on episode 4. I think it was better than episode 3. I think from a cinematography standpoint, it definitely had moments that felt or that made the world feel larger. I think one of the things about episode 3 that people didn't focus on as much that was one of my least favorite parts of that episode is that everything felt like really condensed. Like there weren't really that many scenes where you got the impression of the vastness of the world. And I loved the scenes that looked like they were shot just like on set, on location, somewhere on the side of this mountain that was gorgeous. I mean, it almost looked like it was out of the Lord of the Rings. So from a cinematography standpoint, I think episode 4 was definitely better. From just a pure enjoyment standpoint, I liked episode 4 more than episode 3. There were just so many moments in episode 3 where I was like, what? Like, you know, something would be said. I'm not going to reiterate some of the stuff we talked about in last week's podcast, but a small example of that would kind of just be the way the Force was depicted, and also just what does it mean if Mei and Osha are born of the Force or created using the thread, so to speak. Like, what does that mean for the legacy of Anakin Skywalker, who we thought to be the chosen one, the only person who that had ever happened to? But anyways, not to recap too much of episode 3, looking at episode 4, it didn't have as many... I didn't have as many issues with the episode from a lore perspective. More so I had issues kind of just with the way the plot is told. I think for as negative as a lot of people, probably including myself, felt about episode 3, I think it was ironically more well-written than episode 4. I feel like there were several moments in this episode 4 that just fell really flat for me. One example of that is the moment when Jeki is talking to a local on Kofar. They've all just landed. You know, they're getting ready to look for Kelnaka. And Jeki walks up to the group after using that weird alien Google Translate thing. And she's like, they say they haven't seen him for a year or whatever. He wandered into the forest. And then Sol looks at the forest and goes, he's in there. And it was like, did someone really okay this writing? Like, it just felt like it was falling flat. Some of the humor with Quimir and Mei didn't feel like it landed really well oftentimes. All that to say, for some of those negative pieces, I do like the character of Sol. I feel like the actor who is depicting Sol is doing an excellent job. I think Daphne Keene, who's playing Jeki, actually, I really enjoy her performance as well. Something I noticed in this episode was that the scenes that she is in, with the exception of the part where she's like, and that's not her fault or her character's fault, saying like, he's in the forest, and then Sol says, I know, that's just poor writing, I think. But the scenes that Jeki is in, like the scene with Mei at the beginning, or the scene in the middle, she has two separate moments where Mei and her are having dialogue alone. Or excuse me, Osha. I'm going to try not to switch Osha and Mei too much in this episode. But where she and Osha are talking to each other. And it just feels like really powerful and well done. I think I enjoy Daphne Keene's depiction of the character. I think she has this confidence about her. And I think most scenes with her really land oftentimes. I don't feel the same way about Osha in this episode. There's a moment at the beginning of the episode where Osha, you know, we learn that she doesn't want to go after Mei. She's like, no, it's the Jedi's problem. Felt like the performance of Osha particularly fell really flat in this episode for me personally. And then Sol is like, Osha, I need you. She's like, okay, I changed my mind. I'll come help you with Osha, or with Mei, excuse me. And so, like, I don't know. The character, I'm not connecting with Osha or Mei, for that matter, at all. That to say, I think Mei has some shortcomings as well in this episode. And in fact, I would identify those shortcomings as probably the weakest part of, I want to say this episode, but really the show. And what I mean by that is we're presented with a character who is after revenge. Like, she's wanting to kill these four Jedi that we learn either, I think it's at the beginning of episode two or maybe the end of episode one. Like, she's trying to kill Indara, Torben, Kelnaka, and Sol. Like, she wants revenge because they were there on her home planet. There's some secret. We don't really know what the secret was, but we're led to believe it involves the death of all the Brendok witches. And so, you know, she is this character who has this sense of vengeance. She wants to get even. She wants to, like, kill these four. And part of the problem is that it didn't really ever feel like we were able to develop that that sense of why she wants vengeance. You know, like, we still don't really know. And it's not only that we don't know, now she doesn't even want the vengeance anymore. And the moment in the episode where, you know, she, Kamir steps in the foot knot and gets hung by, like, you know, hung by his foot on the tree, she's like, I'm going to turn myself into Kelnaka. It was the most jarring part of this show for me. As much as I didn't really like episode three, for me, like, this moment made less sense plot-wise than anything we've seen at any other point in this show. So I don't understand the motivations of Mei. Part of the issue is that the show as a whole is so short. I mean, we get 8 episodes. Some of them are, like, less than half an hour, basically. And so you have to develop this relationship with a character over a short period of time. It's not fleshed out very well. We open, she's just already mad. You don't really have a sense of why she's upset until the third episode. And even then, it doesn't feel well justified. And then in the next episode, she's like, well, yeah, never mind. I'm gonna turn myself in. I'm not gonna try to kill him. And it was just like, what? How? I don't understand the motivations of Mei. For me personally, Mei is the least well-written character in this show. And I'm not connecting with Mei or Osha, really. High points of the show, again, to reiterate, Sol, and I would say Jackie. I really enjoy both those characters. Low points for me, Mei and Osha, although I think they have done a pretty good job of creating this relationship between Sol and Osha. Otherwise, oh, and Yord. Dude, I think, I don't know if I definitely dislike his character in the show, but I don't know if that means he's poorly written. Maybe that means he's written well if I am disliking him, because clearly that's, like, sort of his role in the show. So all that being said, you know, we end up at the end, to kind of jump forward a bit, and Kelnaka has been apparently killed by this Dark Force user, this, you know, pseudo-Sith, if we're calling him that. Which, by the way, to jump back to a point, I did skip over something. There's been a huge amount of controversy online with Ki-Adi Mundi being displayed or depicted at the beginning of this episode in a meeting, you know, with these Jedi at the beginning of the episode, Master Vernestra Rowe leading this meeting. And can I just also say, one of my other least favorite parts of the episodes, not to do with Ki-Adi Mundi, but the fact that they wouldn't report this to the High Council. Like, these are Jedi. They operate by the highest ideals and values, and they're guardians of the peace in the galaxy. Like, on what, in what galaxy are we who are Jedi going to obtain crucial information about that could threaten the existence of the Jedi Order? And there's a room of, like, a dozen of them. And Master Vernestra Rowe is just like, yeah, we're going to keep this from the council, everybody. We good? Yeah, we good to keep this from the council? Okay, we're not going to tell. Like, it is so un-Jedi that I felt it so off-putting. So that was something I also wanted to make sure I got out there. But back to the Ki-Adi Mundi thing, I don't have as much issue with this as a lot of other people do. I think the frustration with Ki-Adi Mundi, if you're not familiar with the controversy around him, in episode one, The Phantom Menace, he has a line where he says, you know, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan have come back from Tatooine and just seen Darth Maul for the first time, he says, the Sith have been extinct for a millennium.
The Sith have been extinct for a millennium.
Almost kind of trying to discount this firsthand account that Qui-Gon is giving to the council. And so at this point in time, that means we are led to believe, this point being the Phantom Menace, that the council has and has had no existence or no knowledge of the existence of the Sith for 1,000 years or something. So then you see a member of the council in the Phantom Menace in this scene learning about the existence of this Dark Force user, who we're still hesitant to call a Sith in the show, and maybe for good reason. I think the only way I see this playing out in a way that would make sense for me, which is also why I don't take as much issue with this point, is that this Dark Force user can't be a Sith. If the show, by the end of the show, we learn that this is a Sith, then I will probably take issue with the scene with Ki-Adi-Mundi in it. But at this moment in time, I think the direction we're headed is that the reveal of whoever this person is, whether it's Kymir or Mother Coral or whoever, this person is not going to be a Sith, technically. I think that is the only way you could make it work plot-wise and have it fall in line with the Phantom Menace. Otherwise, you're just, like, basically retconning an entire line from the movie, which, you know, maybe that's the direction they'll take. I think a lot of people will have larger issues with that if that is the direction they take. But all that to say, the other thing that people had issue with Ki-Adi-Mundi was that he, at this, you know, on Wikipedia, which keeps, like, the records of all the, you know, everything Star Wars, you know, data, information, stuff like that, about every movie, show, episode, anything. They changed it as soon as the episode ended that Ki-Adi-Mundi's birth date was pushed back like 40 years after this episode. Now, I don't really take that much issue with that. I don't personally have a huge problem with that. It's my understanding that this birth date of Ki-Adi-Mundi prior to Acolyte Episode 4 was only on there because it was a Legends piece of information. Legends meaning it's not technically part of the Star Wars canon. And so then, now that we know he was alive during this High Republic era, roughly 80 years before Phantom Menace, that he has a different birthday now. Again, I don't personally take as much issue with this. I just think where this could come back to bite them in the long run with including him in the show is if at the end of this show, the Dark Force user is a Sith, then I think it might be a problem. But I'm really curious for those of you listening and watching, let me know down in the comments or on any of the Hoth Hangout socials what your thoughts are on this. How do you feel particularly about Ki-Adi-Mundi's inclusion in the episode? And then the last piece of information I wanted to touch on with the episode, which I thought was probably my favorite part of the episode, probably a lot of people's favorite part of the episode. We all love to see a good lightsaber showdown. Of course, we only got a bit of it at the end. But, you know, Mei realizes that Kel Naka has been killed by this Dark Force user. She's inside Kel Naka's hut while he's dead. So now officially Indara, Torben, and Kel Naka have all been killed or are dead. And so Sol is the only one remaining of these original four. And it seems like the Master has an agenda that he or she has not told Mei about, because, you know, the Master took it into his hands to kill Kel Naka. And so originally we thought this was like maybe just a test for Mei. It seems like more than likely there is a personal element, maybe some revenge involved, which that's the thing that makes me think this person is Mother Coral. But I think here's what I would say about the identity of this person. I really think the leading two candidates are Mother Coral and Kymir. Having said that, I want this person to not be either of them. I think from a revenge perspective, Mother Coral makes the most sense. From just a plot and storytelling overview, it just seems like Kymir might be that person at this point in time. If I had to say anyone, it would probably be him. But I don't want it to be either of them because I want to be genuinely surprised. This show was billed as a mystery show, and then the mystery was gone in like the first 10 or 15 minutes. It was like, oh, well, Mei is the person trying to kill those four. So I think I would really appreciate a genuine shocking surprise at the end of this show, which, by the way, we're already halfway through, if you can believe that, but It's I don't know. We're halfway through. I don't feel like it's going amazing. For what it's worth, I do still think I am enjoying the show for what it is worth. Is it my favorite? No. I do think it's better than Book of Boba Fett, for what that's worth to some folks. But we see this master float down at the end of the episode, which was like, oh, the master can do that? Okay. Which also makes me lean more towards Mother Coral, maybe, as being the identity of this person. But, you know, this Dark Force user, this Sith, I guess we can go ahead and say for now, is standing behind Osha. And Mei is still inside, and all the Jedi, you know, ignite their lightsabers when they see the red lightsaber ignited. Really thought an interesting part of the episode is that this Sith or this Dark Force user doesn't kill Osha. Like, casts Osha aside like she's nothing using the Force or the thread. and I mean, I'm led to believe that maybe that means it's more likely to be Mother Coral as well. But that could be a question we pose to you down in the comments as well. Who do you think the identity of the Dark Force user is? I mean, I would be shocked if it's not Mother Coral or Khmer, but I really want it to be one of those two. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the overview of the episode. I know I didn't go into as much depth and detail as we normally would if we were duo podcasting this thing. But just to recap, if I were to rank episode 4 amongst all the episodes, I think I still like episode 1 and 2 more than episode 4. I like episode 4 more than episode 3, but I think in terms of the writing, it might be the most poorly written episode. It just had a lot of moments that I thought fell flat. Having said that, the cinematography was better than episode 3 for sure. So, some high points, some low points. But I would pose, what stood out to you the most? What did you like about it? What did you not like about it? And as a reminder, even if we like or dislike, I know a lot of people dislike The Acolyte at this moment in time, but whether we like or dislike it, remember to try to keep respectful comments and respectful rapport with people as we all discuss Star Wars as fans of the brand and of the product. So, just keep the comments and respectful. I keep the conversations respectful, and even if you dislike it, you know, I'm kind of in that boat at this moment in time. I'm not sure what I would rate the show overall. I would probably rate this episode like a... Last week, I feel like Joey and I try to tend to be have positive outlooks, and so last week I gave it a 6 out of 10, even though it was probably my least favorite episode of anything we've seen in quite a while. So because I liked this week's more, I'd probably be willing to go 7 out of 10. I mean, I genuinely did enjoy the moment at the end of the episode where, you know, the lightsabers were all ignited. I'm pumped to see the beginning of next week. But, you know, the few things here and there, the character development of Mei is by far my biggest con to this episode. The Ki-Adi Mundi thing, you know, I get why people are frustrated by that. To me, that's a much smaller thing, so I don't take as much issue with it. And then some of the conversations just feeling like they fell a little bit flat. Having said all of that, I tend to just kind of rate the episode just purely on my enjoyment. So for that reason, I'm going to go with a 7 because I liked it more than last week. Still had a lot to be desired, but I'm still looking forward to the rest of this show. Let us know if you're looking forward to the rest of the show as well. And of course, to recap our question of the week, which will be available on the YouTube community tab as well as over on Twitter. Will both Mei and Osha survive the rest of the season 1 of The Acolyte? Let us know your response on either of those two platforms. And on next week's episode of the podcast, episode 86, we're going to be back, the both of us, talking all things Acolyte episode 5. Really have some high hopes for that one, considering how episode 4 left off. I hope we get like an awesome lightsaber duel to begin the episode. That's kind of what I'm aiming for and hoping for. So, appreciate you for listening to this episode. As a reminder, if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as all of our reactions to newest episode of Star Wars shows, including The Acolyte. You can catch our reaction to all 4 of the first Acolyte episodes over on the YouTube channel right now as well. You can contact us with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise at hothhangout@gmail.com. And if you're listening to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, leave a 5-star review. We would appreciate it very much, and it allows the pod to be more easily discoverable by other folks who love Star Wars as well. We're findable on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Follow us on the social media platforms. You can find the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode as well. And at this moment in time, this is typically where I would ask for last words from Joey. But because we are just flying solo today, want to issue one more thank you to all those of you watching and listening, whether you be on YouTube or any of the podcast platforms. We appreciate you very much. We'll catch you all next week with episode 86, talking about Acolyte episode 5, as well as with our reaction to the 5th episode the day before that on the YouTube channel. And one last thank you to our producer, Gibbo, for always producing the show, the videos, and assets for the Hoth Hangout podcast. Once again, thank you all for listening very much. Let us know what your thoughts were on Acolyte Episode 4. And until the next time, may the Force be with you.